is a podcast of 98FM's Dublin Talks. Remember, catch the show live Monday to Friday at 10 a.m. 98FM's Dublin Talks with Adrian Kennedy.
Day. Now, next on the programme, we have two reasons for talking about our next topic, a topic that we've never actually discussed on the programme before, and that is the topic of allergies. In a moment, we'll be reading an email from a listener by the name of Paul, who has a serious egg allergy. He can't eat eggs or go anywhere near them, and he has to check the ingredients of nearly everything he eats to make sure that there are no eggs or even part of an egg contained in whatever it is he's eating. And we want to hear from you about what you are allergic to. You can text or WhatsApp us on 0877 98 98 98. 0877 98 98 98. What are you allergic to, and what sort of effect does it have on your day-to-day life? I'd love to hear from you. 6797981 is our telephone number, and 0877 98 98 98 is our text or WhatsApp number. And as I said, allergies are something that we've never really spoken about on the show, yet many of you listening to us right now have an allergy of some sort. Around a quarter of us are allergic to something. Maybe there's a certain type of food that you're allergic to, and if you come in contact with, could end up in hospital. Maybe your child has a serious allergy. I'll be talking to a mother in a moment about her child's serious nut allergy. And we'll be hearing from a man, as I said, who is allergic to eggs and how it actually impacts his life. And obviously at this time of year, we're heading into hay fever season. And I often feel sorry for people who suffer with hay fever, because including our Jamie and Jeremy, both of them actually suffer from hay fever. I've never had it, thank God. I can go out and cut the grass, not a bother. But I know for an awful lot of people, it's a dreadful time of the year. Well, McCabe's Pharmacy in Dundrum Town Centre are having an Allergy Awareness Day today to give tips and treatment to people with allergies, particularly hay fever. And joining me on the line is pharmacist Teresa Doyle. Teresa, welcome to 98FM. Tell me, if you will, what is happening today?
Hi, Adrian. So we are just having a little event today where I'll be chatting to people when they come in, just talking to them a little bit about allergies. I suppose going into summer season now, allergies are becoming a lot more common. So we're just kind of going through a lot of the different products.
And why are allergies becoming a lot more common?
Well, I suppose going into the summer, your pollen count is getting higher with the good weather. Not just yet, but when it does get a bit drier out, people start, I suppose, mowing their lawns. That can also bring up the pollen count and things like that, flowers and can just bring it all up.
Okay, now obviously by the mere mention of the word allergy, you can in theory be allergic to anything. What sorts of things do people present with in terms of allergic reaction?
So you can have allergy all year round, but in generally in the summer you'd have, so basically the response or an allergy is when, you know, the environment, the body becomes in contact with antigens that can make your body produce histamine. So it's the histamine that is causing the reaction, like the watery eyes, the runny nose, the coughing, etc. So there is various different ailments that you can treat, and then that's why there's lots of different products. So you might take an antihistamine tablet that itself brings down the histamine in the body. You might use eye drops to help treat watery eyes. And then some people find that because of the histamine, they can get very congested. So there's decongestants and things like that. So I suppose it's just trying to see what kind of symptoms people have individually and then trying to treat them. And a more common thing that what we try and do is we try to prevent it. So we try and counsel patients on getting ready for the season. And a big thing is trying to keep the nasal passages clear. So using maybe something like a saline spray, and then that kind of just keeps everything clear. Or you can just use some tips and tricks. So have a look on the weather channel, can show you when the pollen count is going to be high. You can look on the asthma website, has a really good chart of when the pollen count is going to be high. You know, then you can prepare yourself, you know, keep the windows up in the car if you're driving. Maybe don't hang the washing out, because sometimes the little pollen particles can stick to your clothes, or wear your sunglasses, things like that. So it's just kind of keeping people aware of how they can prevent these symptoms from happening.
Now, I was talking with a colleague here in work earlier on who's got a severe allergy to eggs. In just a second, I'm going to be talking to the mother of a child who has a severe nut allergy. So obviously, there are many other types of allergy that aren't in any way related to pollen.
Yeah, so that'll be looking more along, that's more of an anaphylaxis. So that's not to do with your seasonal hay fever allergy. That would be to do with like a food allergy. So there'll be some different steps there that you'd have to be prepared. A lot of people would have adrenaline pens on hand for that. If they've been exposed to that allergy before, they'd have to prepare themselves slightly differently.
All right. So anybody who pops in to McCabe's will be able, in Dundrum Town Centre today, will be able to get advice on dealing with their allergies.
Dealing with their allergies, yeah.
All right. Teresa Doyle, thank you very much indeed for talking to us.
Okay. Thanks, Adrian. Bye.
Now, let me read out this message that we got from a guy called Paul. Have a listen to this. Can you please talk about allergies and the everyday problems associated with having a food allergy, also the challenges? I have an egg allergy and have had it since birth. I have to watch everything I eat. Menus in restaurants have improved, but you still need to ask the waiter each time you order. Also, the awkward situations, going to a dinner party and not being able to eat what has been cooked. With a restaurant, you can order something else, but if someone has spent hours cooking something and you can't eat because it contains something you can't eat, it can be a bit of a problem. Ordering from a deli counter is an absolute nightmare. Sometimes just one chopping board is used, sometimes the same knife is used. A lot of people don't understand the everyday hassles of having a food allergy, and it might be worth highlighting. And that's from a guy called Paul. Thanks for getting in touch with us, Paul. He sent that message through our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/AdrianK and Jeremy D. And I'd like to find out from you, what are you allergic to? It can be something really small and slightly inconvenient, or it can be something very serious, like an egg allergy. And in fact, after the break, I'll be talking to the parent of a child with a severe nut allergy. We got this message in that says, I am allergic to cheese, and for some reason, when ordering from several different deli shops, I find there is nearly always bits of cheese in the lettuce. I don't know how many times I've had to ask for them to make sure to not get cheese in my roll or my sandwich when asking for lettuce. And then usually they give me a dirty look, even after explaining that I have an allergy. And that has to be very difficult, because literally there is contamination at every deli counter. You can see it yourself. I've the opposite problem. I just, not that I'm allergic, but I despise onions. And I'm always getting bits of onion in my sandwich. Let's have a listen to this WhatsApp voice message.
Hi, guys. I'm actually allergic to raw onions and scallions. If I have them on anything whatsoever, or even if somebody's sitting near me with them, I actually get quite wheezy. My chest gets quite congested. But yeah, if I'm away from them, it dissipates very, very quickly. It's amazing. Onions.
All right. Text or WhatsApp us 0877 98 98 98. Now, Niamh, your daughter is 7 and she has a very severe peanut allergy.
Yep, she does indeed.
How did you discover it in the first place?
Well, I was actually on to you before about this, Adrian. We were at a funeral in Spain, and it was in a bar, and she was eating some crackers off the table, and she put a few peanuts into her mouth, and I actually thought I'd given her peanuts before, but she immediately broke out in a rash all over her body. She was only 3 at the time, and she was saying, "I'm itchy, I'm itchy." Her eyes and nose began to stream, and within minutes, her whole face was swollen and she was vomiting and losing consciousness.
My God, that must have been terrifying.
Yeah, it was. It was really scary.
And I assume you had to take her to hospital, did you?
Well, luckily we were about 3 minutes away from the hospital in Velmedina, and luckily they are amazing in there. And within minutes she was on an IV and she was coming back around, and, you know, she was much better. She was fine by that night, but don't think I'll ever be fine from it.
No, I'm sure you won't. And how did you find out then what had happened to her?
Well, like, there was obviously a language barrier, but the Spanish doctors were saying to me, you've given her something different. And I was like, the only thing she had today, because I hadn't even realised she'd actually eaten the peanuts. And I also thought I'd gave them to her before. And I was like, she ate peanuts, but she hadn't before. And they were like, well, if you are ever going to give her peanuts again, you make sure you're in the emergency room, because we are very sure that that's what's caused the allergy. So I went home with a referral from the hospital to my GP, and they gave her a blood test in the hospital. And yeah, she's highly allergic to peanuts, anaphylaxis to peanuts.
Wow.
And she'll never recover, because she only got retested in October, and they said, no, actually the levels are higher now. So she's definitely never going to grow out of it. Like.
And what are the daily implications of that? I mean, I know it is a very severe allergy. I know we had an example a couple of years ago about of a young girl dying in the city centre as a result of it. What are the daily issues that you have?
Like, the things that peanuts are in are things you really wouldn't think about. Like, there's some bread may contain traces of nuts, and some chocolate that doesn't have nuts in it may contain traces of nuts. Like, you have to read the packaging and absolutely everything. And then even when you think something's safe, like, it might not be safe in a couple of weeks' time. I had an issue where we were eating a brand of cereal, and we were eating it for years, and then obviously they just moved the production line or the factory or the packaging or something, because for a whole month after that, it suddenly may contain peanuts, so we couldn't eat that. And then it changed back to contains no traces of nuts. So, you know, something small that you don't realise can have an effect on whether the food is safe or not. Like, and like, we can't eat anywhere. Like, we can't go out anywhere. Now, I think TGI Fridays is quite allergy safe, and people have recommended we go there. But other than that, it's McDonald's or it's at home, like a home-cooked meal.
Wow,
no,
right.
Like,
and what sort of awareness does your daughter have about her allergy?
She's great now, but that's because I have made her probably a bit paranoid about it. I encourage her all the time, you don't eat it unless you've read the ingredients. Mammy has to check. You don't take food from everybody. No kids out on the road. Mammy might hand out a couple of ice creams to the couple of kids. No, she's been taught you can't take anything. You have to ask me. Even in school, you have to ask them to ask me, because she, as a little 7-year-old, have to remind adults that she has an allergy, because people forget. Mm. They don't realise how serious it is, and they forget, you know.
And has she had any other issues? Like, have you come in contact with any sort of peanuts since then, or any sort of nuts?
Not once, thank God, because I live in an eternal state of paranoia, Adrian, to make sure it never ever happens again. If you see your child like that, you don't want to see it again.
Absolutely. You know? Now, one of our listeners asked me to ask you, what about going on a flight? Because I know I've been on flights where they've said on board that no peanuts will be served because somebody has a peanut allergy, because literally the dust from peanuts can be airborne.
Yeah, when we book in on flights, I tell them that she has a peanut allergy and that I'm carrying EpiPens. And then when we get on the cabin crew, I tell them again. Sometimes we get great announcements. Like the last flight we were on coming back from Spain, they announced it 4 times before we were even in the air. And then when we were in the air, they announced it further 2 times. And I thought that was great. And they kept checking on me and checking on me. But then another time I flew a different airline, and like, they didn't really care. And the seats were filthy. Normally I would request to go on first so that I could clean the area, clean the tray, you know, just wipe everything down. So, you know, she's 7, she'd be touching the seats and stuff.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
To keep it safe, like. But I think peanuts should be banned from all airlines, to be honest, like, because it's just too much of a risk for something so silly that people could wait to the other side to have, like. Mm. And even in Dublin Airport there in Terminal 1, there's like a nut stand right beside the gates, and it's just like, why are you here? Like, do you know, it's just so dangerous. Like,
wow, I mean, there's something. I love my peanuts, I have to say.
I used to love them, Adrian.
Yeah, I would never have even noticed that there was a nut stand, and the chances are I probably would buy nuts at the nut stand on my way onto the airplane. But yeah, that I would never realise that. And let me ask you, she's 7 now.
Yeah.
Is it something she'll ever grow out of, or will she have it for life?
She'll have it for life. After the last test, they said, really, now she hasn't got a chance of it ever growing out of it. Like, but she's learning to live with it. You know, she's very good. She's very grown up for a 7-year-old. Like, she knows she just can't have it. Like, but you feel sorry for her when she's looking you know, longingly at the things other kids have. Mm. When all the Krispy Kreme donuts were coming out and stuff like that, she can't have any of those. Like, she'll never have them. I have to make all of her treats for her. Or there's a wonderful allergy bakery, actually, I'll give her a shout out. It's Candlewood Bakery. And she does all allergen-free cakes, donuts, everything you can think of. And that's where we go for our cakes.
What's the name of it again?
Candlewood Bakery. I think it's in Clondalkin, but they're fantastic. Like.
Right, very good. Okay, well worth giving a shout out to. Right, like I said, I mean, that, her allergy is at the kind of extreme end of allergies in terms of what people have to live with. I'd like to find out what you're allergic to. Niamh, thanks for your call. Let's have a listen to this WhatsApp voice message.
Hi, good morning, guys. Hi, Adrian. As far as my experience with my son, he's 12 years old now, Adam, born 2007 with the high allergy. I think you have to challenge the food. That's to get used to it. I know it's really hard, but not really much to eat or to touch. So you have to eat tiny step by step to get the level. That's what we're doing now with Adam in hospital. Challenge the egg, challenge the nuts, challenge the milk or peanut butter or something like that. Thanks.
I don't know if that's sound medical advice now, I have to say, because I've seen the effects of peanut allergy particularly, and it is very, very severe. I certainly wouldn't be challenging it. I certainly wouldn't be definitely not. Here's another WhatsApp voice message.
If they're all that allergic to stuff, don't be ordering off a deli counter. Just make your own bleeding sandwiches. Good luck.
Alright, now my daughter has numerous allergies, but she has a life-threatening one called cold urticaria. This means she's allergic to the cold, such as being exposed to the cold weather and a swimming pool. Just wondering if any other listeners have this condition. I've never heard of this before. It's called cold urticaria. If anybody knows anything, or urticaria, if anybody's ever heard of that, let me know. If you know somebody else who has to live with that. Vicky, you're on 98FM. How are you, Vicky?
Hi, Adrian. How are you?
Good, thanks, Vicky. Well, tell me about, you've a number of allergies.
Yeah, flowers, cat dander, dust mites and areca, things like that. So I get 4 injections in the hospital every 4 weeks.
4 injections every 4 weeks?
Every 4 weeks.
Just to go about living your daily life?
Yeah, because if my allergies play up, then my asthma will play up.
Right, okay. So it's all interlinked, basically.
Yeah.
And obviously these injections keep the allergies at bay, do they?
Yeah, so now I could like come in contact with a cat. But before, if I came in contact with a cat, I could end up in hospital for a week or two because my breathing would get really bad.
Oh, right. So that it would have a direct impact on your breathing?
Yeah, flowers, even flowers in the garden, anything would be really bad. I could end up in hospital for a week, 2 weeks.
And, oh, right, okay. So it's 4 different injections every 4
it's
weeks.
It's the same injection. It's called Xolair. Your IgE levels have to be at a certain level. They're really hard to get because they're really expensive.
Right.
So my IgE level would have been over 1,000, 800, 1,000, where it's supposed to be below 300, well, even lower.
Oh, right. Okay, so that's quite severe then.
Yeah.
And if you didn't have these injections, you would end up in hospital regularly?
Yeah, I would have been in regularly with my asthma because the allergies would be so bad. So I think I'm on them nearly 3 years. 3 years in July. But I was on them before I got pregnant with my little girl. And then it took me 7 years to get them back because there's such a demand for them and because they're so expensive.
So give me the list again. You're allergic to cats?
Cat hair, flowers, dust mites, they say trees, a rake of stuff like that.
Right. My God. I mean, dust mites are everywhere.
They're everywhere. You can't do with dust in the house. Like.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing you can do about that. Put yourself in a plastic tent.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an unbelievable list. So, but with these injections, then you are able to live. You are able to live a normal sort of life.
Yeah, I just take my regular inhalers and fingers touch wood. I haven't been in hospital in 2 years.
Right. Okay. So, that's unbelievable. Thanks very much indeed, Vicky. I'd love to hear from you on 6797981. Maybe you're somebody who lives with hay fever. How do you live with that? I'm very fortunate that I don't have hay fever. I can go out and cut the grass. It's no bother at all. But I have seen other people who, for example, I know of one person who's never cut the grass. Never. Because he just can't. Let's have a listen to this WhatsApp voice message.
Hello, 98FM. Just a quick voice message. My allergies would be quite severe. I'm allergic to nuts and fish. So obviously when you're out eating, it can be a bit of a hindrance as well. I'm also allergic to horses, which came with a price because my family all love horses. So I just can't go on them. I was on them years ago as a child. My dad put me onto one and I ended up in Our Lady's Hospital. Same when I get a fish finger. I probably should carry an EpiPen, but I don't, because all these reactions were kind of as I was a young child, like 4 or 5, nearly 30 now, and I haven't had one since. I keep saying I'm going to get retested, but I wouldn't put a nut or fish or anything like that across my lips. No way.
Lads, I've had hay fever since I was very young. It's not life-threatening, but every single summer is absolute hell. The worst thing is I live in rural Ireland surrounded by fields. Most people love the smell of fresh-cut grass. It fills me with dread. And I do have a lot of sympathy for people who live with hay fever, because I love the smell of fresh-cut grass. I love getting out to cut the grass. It reminds me of summer and blah, blah, blah. But for some people, it's a bloody nightmare. Let me go to Deborah next. Deborah, tell me about your daughter.
Yeah, well, she's 13 now, but we were away on holidays when she was 10 months old and we were giving her cereal every morning. And then my husband, her dad at the time, was having an egg in a cup and on toast, and I said, mash some up there for her and give her something different. And he went to give it to her and she spat it out, and we thought, it's just something new, we'd try her with, and tried her again and again. And then I thought, here, leave it. She ended up, a couple of seconds later, she came out in severe spots, really bad spots, and then she started getting sick. So I was looking at her and you could tell her face was swelling up, so we ran with her down to the doctor. We knew where the doctor was. Thank God it was 30, 40 seconds away from where we were staying. And ran down to the doctor, and we got into the waiting surgery. And when the doctor seen her in the waiting surgery, he ran into his surgery to grab the adrenaline shock. And by the time he came out, the child was seconds away from dying.
My God.
He literally gave her the injection, and she came through. Eventually, he had to give her a second injection. And it took her a few minutes to kind of start breathing again properly. But we had to bring her home, back to the apartment, and put her into a bath with antihistamine and a lot of different specialised liquids we had to put her in to try and stop the swelling. But if we hadn't been on holidays and got to that doctor's when we did, she would have died. She would have been dead.
She literally would have died. My God almighty, that must have been terrifying.
Yeah. It was absolutely. And then as soon as we got home, I brought her to a clinic in Morgan and paid privately and got her done and allergy tested there. And he said she had a severe allergy to eggs and a very severe allergy to nuts.
Oh, so she's got a double dose.
Yeah, she's allergic to nuts and eggs, but she will never be allergic free to nuts. But we're attending Tala Hospital now at the moment, going to the allergy clinic, and they're trying to get her onto eggs. So she's passed her muffin test. She went from eating literally a 32 fraction of a muffin up to a 16th of a fraction of a muffin to an eighth, and now she's able to eat a full muffin.
And this goes back actually to that message from that man that I played a while ago, who was talking about trying to build up a tolerance. In fact, I remember reading recently about how a peanut allergy was defeated essentially by developing a tolerance to it.
Yeah, well, she'll never be allergic free to peanuts, never. That's what the doctor said, it's that severe. So even if we're anywhere, like, I try and keep her away from the nuts, but she's brilliant. She carries her EpiPens around all the time. We have a name for them. We call them the twins. And she just brings the twins with her wherever we go. And she was diagnosed then with asthma. So asthma is a big factor in it as well. So it's just under control.
God, love her.
Yeah. But she's living a normal life. She knows what she can and can't have. And anywhere she goes, even if we're out in restaurants, she asks the waiters or waitresses if there's any eggs in it, or if we go and get an ice cream, she'd ask, is there egg in this or nuts? And she tells everyone she's allergic to egg and nuts. So it's
The difficulty is, and in fact, like I said, I was talking to a colleague here in work earlier on, like the guy who sent in the message, who's got an egg allergy, and he was telling us that he won't even go to, to people's houses for fear of having to dictate to them what they cook.
I know. Yeah, all of our friends know she has an egg allergy, and they won't put eggs out or nuts or anything in front of her. But even there was a time where one of my friends had a poached egg, and a couple of minutes before she came to my house, she'd poached egg, and she came in and she gave Jade a kiss, and Jade ended up getting her face kind of blew up, her lips went really red and blew up, and we had to give her antihistamine straight away. So it is quite severe. Even if you have an egg and you come in contact with that child, people need to be more aware of it when they're eating eggs and nuts or anything that somebody is allergic to.
Believe it or not, I had never known that an egg allergy is even a thing until today.
Yeah, it's really severe. I never knew about it until Jake got it, so it is. People just need to be more aware of it.
Right, but she copes okay. She...
really well, yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, and she's what age now? She's 13, is she?
13, yeah.
Wow.
We only discovered when she was 10 months.
Wow. All right, good to talk to you, Deborah. Thanks very much indeed. And finally, Kate, you have hay fever, as have an awful lot of Irish people. Yep. Quite severe hay fever. How does it affect you?
Yeah, so I got hay fever when I was about 14 or 15 years of age. And since then, it was just chronic hay fever every summer. It would literally ruin weekends away, days. It ruins the summer for you, because it's just, if you never suffered from it, it's hard to understand how like absolutely irritating it is. And then in any of my pregnancies, I wasn't able to... you're limited in what you can take, of course, when you're pregnant to help the hay fever. So I was Googling, I think I was drinking nettle tea and all sorts of stuff that were said to help it, but nothing really worked for it. So last summer was the first summer that I never suffered with it, because I tried acupuncture and I did two things. I started to get a couple of sessions of acupuncture at the very start of the kind of spring season. And the other thing I did was start... if you start taking your tablets as well, whatever your antihistamines, at night time, before you're well in advance, so at the start of spring, before any sort of pollen is in the air or the symptoms kick in, that makes a huge, huge difference. So last summer, when people who don't even suffer from hay fever were getting symptoms, I was absolutely fine for the first time ever, and I couldn't believe it.
So it is very severe. And in fact, I've just gotten a message in, Kate, for somebody like yourself. It says, I have hay fever and I'm allergic to cats and dust can bother me. My mom told me I'm also allergic to summer fruits. I'm sneezing every day and every night all year round, and I can sometimes wake with my eyes swollen and will take a day to go back to normal because I live around plants and the estate has lots of cats. I take allergy tablets daily, but I still get affected if I'm visiting my friend who has two cats and plants in her apartment. It can last 2 hours before I start to find it hard to breathe properly and have to leave. That has to be awful.
Absolutely horrendous. I would definitely try the acupuncture. I know it's not for everybody and people don't like the idea of the pins and everything, but it's absolutely amazing for it treats all kinds of things, but allergies and hay fever is one of them. And certainly for me it made a huge difference, and definitely taking the antihistamines earlier on before the symptoms kick in. So people tend to wait until the kind of hay fever season kicks in, you start to get your runny nose, your itchy eyes and all of that, and then take the, that's what I always did. You kind of nearly forget you have it during the winter, and then you remember when you start sneezing and your eyes are hanging out of your head, and then you start taking them. But I think it's too late by then to try and... You need to do a course of them beforehand, and I honestly believe that makes a huge difference.
Yeah, the only thing that I'm even vaguely allergic to is mosquito bites, and if I get a mosquito bite, it blows up like a balloon like you've never seen. It's quite scary, actually. One of them have is like a football, well, a tennis ball. But anyway, anytime I'm going away... to a place that might have mosquitoes, I take a month's course now of before I go away. Because they do you no harm anyway. They're not going to harm you.
They do you no harm anyway. But they do say people can develop, you might be go years and years without an allergic reaction to anything, and then you can develop allergies later on in life, supposedly, as well. So you just don't know.
Mm. All right, Kate, thanks very much indeed for your call. And one last call. Trish, you are allergic to plasters and metal and peaches.
Yeah.
Wow, what a selection. Tell me about plasters firstly.
I've been allergic to plasters ever since I was a child. My mum noticed it and got me anti-allergy plasters off the doctor, and I was still allergic to those as well. I come out in an awful rash and it hurts like hell.
So if you cut yourself, you literally can't put a plaster on?
No, I just put a bit of tissue around it or gauze around it, and that's happy that.
And then peaches make you vomit violently.
Yeah, anything peach flavoured, peaches, peach, anything like peach snaps, anything peach, and I'm horribly sick.
And then the final one, which I've never heard of an allergy to before, is metal.
Yeah, yeah. I can't have my ears pierced. Can't have any piercing because I'm allergic. I had a cesarean a few years ago and they used staples in the wound, and they put plaster over it, and I had a really bad allergic reaction. So that didn't end very well.
Now, assume you're not, are you allergic to touching metal?
No, it just seems to be when it's like a piercing, or like I can handle money, no problem. And all that sort of stuff, but it seems to be just when it's prolonged exposure on my skin or in my skin.
Wow. But again, like with all of our other callers, you adapt your life around your different allergies.
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't go near anything that has peaches in it, which is easy enough to, like,
to avoid,
like, that's not hard to avoid, yeah. Just don't put plasters on, just have gauze or whatever. Don't have sellotape or anything on my skin, anything that has that sort of glue on it. I just don't go near it.
Wow. All right. Thanks, Trish. Good to hear from you.
No problem.
And, some extraordinary stories of allergies that a lot of people live with. Jeremy's here in the studio, and you have an allergy, I was mentioning this earlier on, to latex, of all things.
I have three allergies.
Yeah.
My first one is hay fever I've had all my life. And I get the injection for hay fever. You can get an injection, not many GPs do it, but the injection I got it 2 weeks ago and it does me for the whole summer. So that I've curbed that allergy. My other allergy, as you said, is latex and rubber. And I first noticed that I used to play golf and my hands were breaking out in a rash from holding the golf clubs. And I went into the dentist one day as well, and he was using latex gloves, and I ended up, my mouth just completely swelled out. So most dentists nowadays use latex-free gloves, but you still have to ask them. Mm. And then my third allergy is I'm lactose intolerant as well.
Wonderful.
And the one thing, and it's probably a discussion for another day, food intolerances. People do not take food intolerances seriously.
Seriously, yeah.
The amount of people that slag me, oh, it's a made-up intolerance. I had full-fat milk a couple of weeks ago and ended up in the toilet for how many hours?
Hours.
Three
well,
hours.
You didn't turn up for work, basically.
I didn't. Yeah. That's how bad it was.
98 FM's Dublin Talks with the Des Kelly Interiors gift voucher for beds, flooring, and more. 98 FM.